Okay, welcome. This is episode number one of the Kickback Podcast. Certainly feels a little strange to be doing some role reversal today. Gavin, what's going on, man?
How you doing, man? Welcome to the pod. We'll put it like this. I am one of your hosts. Literally one of your hosts. Pat could not make it. For those who know Pat, if you're fans of the Kickback Radio show, it's the same people, same guests. This time we got producer Dom here, aka fill-in host, which has basically been your role,
yeah,
on the radio show pretty much.
Yeah.
But I'm doing good, man. Apologies in advance for the speech. A lot has happened in the last 48 hours, and your voice sounds like this, but we're gonna power through. Dom, talk to me. How you doing, man? I see you sipping the tea. Feeling all right today?
No, I'm great. It's just miserable out. We had a couple really nice days over the weekend and early in the week. Now we're here midweek and it feels like fall to some degree, but it's not fall.
I will say my room is hot as hell, right? I take this days like this. I take every day wholeheartedly, but just want to tell people back to pod-related notes. Guys, this is the same format as a radio show, so sports and, other stuff. Best part is, can no one tell me what to say?
No, this is it. This is not that the radio show wasn't the real deal, but this is the real deal. This is Pat and Gavin and me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not bound to the constraints of a college radio station. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but you don't have to play music. Nope. No PSAs.
What?
You don't have to read the weather, which I mean, we just gave you the weather. So if you were looking for the weather,
there you go.
You're welcome.
And guess what? And I don't know when it's going to drop. It'll be the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be miserable the rest of the week. But I'll tell you what's not miserable. We are getting closer and closer to the NFL season. First, before we go into our main topic here for the NFL, last week the schedule came out, and the opening night game, Gavin, is going to be the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. You and I have talked about this somewhat. Actually, no, have we talked about this?
Here and there.
I think we have.
It was like you sent me something. I sent you something.
Yeah, we've traded messages and such about it. So first, before I give you my spiel, please give me your thoughts on this because we haven't gone in depth on this. This is certainly not. I'm not going to say it's irregular for the NFL to do having two divisional opponents open up against each other. So go ahead, talk to the people. Give me your thoughts.
Well, first off, I love this because Dom, you know who I associate with. Half my family are, Cowboys fans, so I relish an opportunity for to know that they're gonna be watching, my boys, raise another banner up at the link. But I will say though, I don't as much as I like this, I don't like this at all. It's a little too early, It's a little too early. Like, I feel like the hype, right? Of like think about it. Every year when the Cowboys and the Eagles face off, maybe not so much last year, but the years before, there's always like a winning, like both teams are either 1A or 1B in the NFC East. They're going back and forth. And normally like whoever punches each other first and gets a knockout in round one kind of deciphers and sets the road and honestly sets the table for the NFC East for the rest of the year. But I don't know, Dom, week one, the last time I remember it was – maybe a few years ago where the Cowboys and the Eagles faced off, I think it was like week four. It was earlier, and it didn't have the same feel. Now, I will say, as much as the Eagles fan, I know because Eagles fan is like, oh, this is awesome and all this. And I've been in the city recently, and I've been talking a lot of stuff. I will say, let's calm down because every season is a different season. Grant, I know you've been on the record saying Dallas is going to be bad this year. I don't disagree with you, but I'm a person where let's just see what it looks like when we get there. So, Eagles fans, I love the troll. I mean, Dom, every time Cowboys lose, I'm right at them. But let's just calm down, wait a second, because let's see. But for them to watch opening night banner, Dak Prescott, everybody and company, who's a really great guy too, by the way.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott's a really good guy. I love it. I love it and I hate it. I think the Eagles fan in me loves it, but the NFL fan in me is like, this, it should have been like a team that like had a chance. I remember last year the Chiefs opened up against the Lions. That was a pretty good one. And the Lions going a pretty damn good run, injuries the rest of the season, as we saw. I would rather the Eagles face an opponent like that, but at the same time, so let's just get a game like this out the way already.
No, so you touched on a lot of good points there. I'm pretty split on this. I get it from the fans' perspective, especially if you're an Eagles fan, which is like, oh yeah, we get to, you know, rub it in Dallas's face. So I get the fun in that. And listen, from a TV rating standpoint, I understand it as well. You're going with obviously the defending Super Bowl champ always gets opening night, but now you're getting, and look, people can say what they want to say about the Dallas Cowboys. They draw in a lot of TV money, a lot of ratings. So
make it seem still, regardless.
From a TV rating standpoint, you can't go wrong there. However, I don't like this from the standpoint of you have a divisional matchup. Week one. The earliest I can remember the Eagles and the Cowboys playing was actually 10 years ago, week two of the 2015 season.
That's what it was.
It was week two, and they were America's game of the week.
It was like 4 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah. They were America's game of the week. Neither team ended up being good, by the way, which was kind of funny.
That wasn't the same referee, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Redskins at the time ended up winning the division that year. So like that was kind of underwhelming. From that to kind of add on to that, I think it's going to be the same here. You know, this is not a hot take of mine. This is my genuine opinion. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a good football team. If there's one thing I pride myself on when it comes to going on shows like this is I try to be as objective as I can. I'm not one of these guys, you know, that I don't have any vendettas or gripes with the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't either, by the way. It's sorry to cut you off, but I just want to go to record and say, I do not hate the Cowboys players. I just don't like their fan base. I don't – so, like, I personally believe – outside A.J. Brown, because whenever I talk about favorite players and things, I always leave my team out of it. CeeDee Lamb's one of my favorite wide receivers in the NFL. Yeah. Outside Justin Jefferson. And that's not even keeping Eagles players involved. That's just, like, him and Michael Parsons, phenomenal players. I think Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. He just gets a lot of shit for, you know.
Absolutely. But, yeah, for one, I don't think this is going to be a very good Dallas Cowboys team. Number two, I would have liked to have seen a matchup that kind of is a little more intriguing on a national level. I mean, look, there is intrigue here.
Who would you put there?
I would have liked to have seen the Rams come in. I think there would have been a lot of storylines there. I mean, it's opening night. It was a very close divisional contest. Not that I think the Rams would play great in South Philadelphia in week one, but I mean, look, they, to their credit, almost came and stole a divisional playoff game in the snow, which very well would have changed the trajectory of things in the postseason. So I would have gone with the Rams. I get the – what was that?
You say Rams? Why don't you just give people what they want to see? You should just put Detroit week one here.
Detroit would be like my second option there. I get that, though, those two teams were kind of on the collision course all of last year to meet in the NFC Championship game. So, yeah, you're giving the people what they want. But I just don't like divisional matchups, you know, happening in the first week of the regular season, especially when it's the opening night game. Like, I get the league did it a couple years ago when it was Packers Bears, but that was more so because it was the league's 100th anniversary, and those are, you know, the two oldest franchises.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I don't think, you know, it's going to be much of a game. I just don't think this Dallas Cowboys team is going to be very good.
I'm leaving optimistic out there. You know, it's May. We don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not saying I'd be surprised if they end up being a good football team. They have the pieces, yeah. You know, but I just don't think for reasons I won't get into on this show yet. I just don't think that's going to be a very good football team. In other news with the NFL, they finally voted today on the tush push ban. It's going to be staying for another year. There were 8 teams that actually didn't cast a vote.
Do we have a list of? I know we have a list of teams that were with. I know, Baltimore, the Patriots, the Lions, and I think there's a few others that was for the tush push, and I think Buffalo, which is actually kind of funny. Buffalo was actually, and they ran it 4 times against the Chiefs in the playoffs, voted against it. So that was a little interesting. But I'm gonna let you defer first. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So. So it's going to be staying for another year. The Bills were one of the obviously the Packers were the main driver behind it, which still kind of surprises me. I kind of see the guys over there as being a team that could and have done it well. Maybe not to the degree the Eagles have, but you know. I guess they just decided, hey, well, you know, we'll lead the charge on this. You know, I know the Steelers were one of the teams that voted against it, which, given Mike Tomlin's personality, kind of surprises me a little bit.
I mean, he's all about physicality, physical everything. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised. However, you know, I'm not happy with the decision. You know, if you've listened to the radio show or any of the pod episodes before this, I'm against the tush push. I personally just, number one, don't think it's a play where it's necessarily, I'm not going to say it's not fair to the defense, but the league took away the ability for an assisted push on defense and special teams. You know, we saw it most with the field goal. So that was really where I was coming from with it. With that being said, because this is going to stay, I would like to see the league reinstate the ability for the defense to do the same.
That's fair. Here's my thing. I am pro tush push. I'm just anti the name. I think the name's dumb as hell. Let's call it the brotherly shove. I mean, Dom, tush push is, you know, grown ass man pushing. Yeah, I don't like that. But I will say, the play itself, it's a forward play. And I think where the misconstrued thing about the Eagles is people think you just line up, you fall, and you push. We were there at the close practice. They practiced this play. Like, I think the misconception, you just line up, the center fall, center hikes and falls, everybody fall, and then running back, RB, and wide receiver push Jalen Hurts in the
box. Yeah, it's not a cut block play. It's not a cut block play.
This is like a technique thing that I just think that no one else has, you know, the I don't want to say the smarts to do it, but like the technique to do it the right way or learn how to do it. But I do agree with you. If the offense has this advantage offensively, you got to get a deep end something in return. I agree with you there. I do have a list of the 10 teams that voted for against the tush push ban. You have the Eagles, the Ravens, the Browns, the Lions, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, which is kind of surprising considering the quarterback's injury history. Patriots, Saints, Jets, and Titans are all yeses. And for those who don't know, you need 24 votes to pass.
Yep.
It was 22. It was 20. They only got 22. So that's that. Now, do I think it's outlawed next year? Yeah. I think another thing, too, is, and Pat brought this up, and CJ brought this up as well, it's show us the injury, like the health and safety part of it. Like my
yeah, I don't agree with the health and safety part of it.
It's part of the game, though. You got like
no, that's what I'm saying, though. Here's my thing: if we're gonna outlaw anything in this is the most violent sport you can play. You know, you can't be banning things for the sake of health and safety. Now, I'm not, you know, that goes to an extent, but if we're gonna ban, you know, plays because of health and safety, then
I mean, we're gonna ruin the kickoff.
I think that's a little excessive.
Yeah, but I think the argument that was made was just like Do people get hurt from this play?
No, the answer is no.
Exactly.
The answer is no.
But I think, do I like the play? I mean, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm going to have a slight bias. I do. Do I think people get the perception wrong from it just being a ready, set, fall, hike, like type thing? I think so as well. I mean, we saw it live. We see these guys generally, do get down and dirty and practice this over and over and over to get it right. I will agree, though. It's kind of a cheap way to get a yard because there's nothing.
It gets a yard at the end of the day. You know, like I said, my biggest thing though is if you're going to continue to allow this, because this is like, and I've said this before, this is the only level of football where this is allowed. Is, you know, you have to allow the defense to do the same thing. And 20 years ago, the league said that they couldn't do it. So, you know, that's my biggest thing. There has to be, and yeah, you know, do I think teams will actually figure out a way to stop it?
Yeah,
I do. I do. I think that's where we might see, you know, some risks of injury. You know, in terms of, hey, you know, now what does the line of scrimmage look like? You know, what do the linebackers do if it's a goal line situation? You know, I think that's where we could see some risk for injury is now, hey, when it comes to what the defense is going to do to stop this play, I think there is going to be some risk involved there. And I mean, you know, that's also that comes with it. So, it stays for another year. You know,
I
don't think it is going to be the last year. I mean, here's my thing. I don't think it'll be the last year just because now, like, the other thing you have to think about too is there's a lot more important things to talk about in a sense. And that's really what upsets me about this entire situation. Looking at both sides is there's a lot more important things that we need to talk about in football right now. This is not one of them. And the arguments from both sides of this issue were ridiculous, in my opinion.
It wasn't really like,
you know, I look on the anti-tush-push side, the injury thing to me, that was a ridiculous argument. On the pro-tush-push side, like, oh, this changes, you know, the offense. No, it doesn't.
It's just you heard AJ Brown said it's just a yard.
Yeah, it's just a yard.
It's just a yard. Like, it'll be one thing if, like, you're doing this and somehow you break for, like, a 55-yard touchdown. Like that's the only difference. It's just a yard. Honestly, my biggest thing is, at the end of the day, you get paid a lot of money. You do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you get paid. Like, I think when we talk about the level of other, like, colleges and high school, they don't get paid. Well, hold on. Because some of these
guys, there's a lot of guys getting paid in college right now,
but it's not everybody, though. It's not everybody, not everybody. So I think that's where you see. I think when you get to like a place like the NFL, when like yo, you get compensated for whatever you do on the field, I think things like that are going to be seen a little bit more. Where like in college, where like it's not the whole team get paid, it's, you know, maybe like 25% of the roster, 30% of the roster. So, and that's just a rough estimate, but. I don't know. To me, it's just play football, man. Like you said, there's bigger things to tackle. There's bigger things.
There absolutely are. And I mean, you know, there's bigger things to tackle. No pun intended. There's bigger things to tackle. And yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think the more that the longer this stays, teams will figure out a way. But now here's my question to the pro-tush-push people. Are you going to start, you know, are you going to have a rebuttal against that? Because now you can't have it both ways.
I mean, let's be honest. And I'm big in the defense as well. They've been trying to minimize defense as much as you can. You can't
only
the sack a quarterback in this area. Okay, but I'm getting pushed around. So you only have a hit radius that's what this big down in between chest. You can't do this. You can't line up against the nose tackle on the kicker. So at some point, the NFL should be like, damn, we gave the offense a lot. We got to get the defense one in return. So I would love to see what that is. Teams have from now until week one to figure something out. See what happens.
And speaking of similar matters, but in a different sport, On to the NBA, where the conference finals have begun. OKC and Minnesota kicked it off last night with the Thunder pulling it out 114-88. Gavin, we were talking about this right before we hit the record button. First off, I'll say this. It does not look good for Minnesota, man. The Thunder looked like they were firing on all cylinders off a short rest. Haven't missed a beat. SGA, who tonight should be named the MVP.
Hopefully.
I mean, I think we've made that clear before that's both of our picks. SGA finished with 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 9 assists. But most notably, and this it's kind of funny that the Tush Push conversation kind of segue into this, he was 11 for 14 from the free throw line. A lot of people are not happy with the I'll just call it for what it is, because this just isn't exclusive to him. This has been a thing in basketball for quite some time now that irritates me. Foul drawing culture. Gavin, what do people want these guys to do?
John,
I know I sound elementary when I ask you that question, but I like, seriously, what? To go back to your point with football, there's been so much to kind of limit defense. The NBA's done the same thing.
I mean, if you think about it, the one thing they gave defenders, right, in the most recent year is, remember when Trae Young used to do, and this would kill the Sixers at one point, where he used to jump into people?
Yep.
And that would be a foul in defense. I'm like, and everybody's like, how is that a defensive foul? You jump into somebody. You're not jumping vertical. You're jumping horizontal into a defender's in the air. And that was one of those foul calls. You're like, all right, but Don, I want to spin a whole different direction. Let's not blame guys like SGA. My biggest thing is look, are you mad at someone that's playing the game within the rules? Yep. It's not like he was James Harden from a couple years ago where he did it and like every time. I mean, Don, you remember watching this? James Harden drives to the lane, gets bumped and throws his hands up. At least he is attempting these shots. He's attempting these shots and he's making these shots. I think that's what people forget too.
And it's funny how well this conversation like intertwines with the previous one. James Harden works on that.
He does.
James Harden works on that, whether you like it or not. And there's nothing in the rules
against what he's doing
that prevent him doing it.
You know who you need to blame, because people blame, because we talked about before we hit record. We talk about, okay, well, you're going to talk about Shea, you got to talk about Jokic, then you got to talk about Embiid, then you got to talk about Harden. You got to argue LeBron at some points in time is same as well. I mean, just the list goes on, so on and so forth. Are you going to get mad at the players, Dom, or are you going to get mad at the game itself? The league created this culture in two different ways. They created it because back in the 90s, we always said, back in my day, Dom, back in my day, this happened. Yeah, back in your day, you could grab someone out the fucking air and pull them straight down. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we can cuss on the spot. Freedom of speech. But you could pull them straight down, like just like that. And then if you go to the early 2000s, where, okay, the same thing, where not only so you're not really pulling one down, but you're kind of like, you know, bumping them out the air a little bit still. Now you go to the early 2000s, early 2010s, where it's starting to get the shift. The NBA took physicality out of the game.
Yeah.
And people.
The NBA is getting what they wished for.
Exactly.
At this point, they're getting what they wished for.
They wanted people to, they wanted the product to stay on the floor longer. 82 games playing on hardwood, Dom, you coached on it. I don't gotta tell you. You know how it is. The hardwood's
been a while though, buddy.
Hey, it still works up here though. It still works in the mind.
As a future guest of ours was said to me, it's like riding a bike. Once you learn, you never forget.
Exactly. But to that point, though, you know that hardwood, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's the pros, hurts after a while. So you know what the NBA said? They're like, damn, we don't want people missing games no more. Let's start this culture where the slightest contact is a foul. I mean, if you breathe on somebody, Dom, it may be a technical. If you sneeze, you get ejected. Like, that's what the game is. And I get mad as a person who loves basketball, as basketball my first true love. I get mad at hearing this because you get mad at the player. The player's just playing the game. He's doing what he's doing. Shea Gilgeous Alexander is doing the game. And I want to say this too, and I'll swing it to you. Sometimes and this is why I get upset. You either be consistent or don't call it. You can't have a game where anything goes, and then you can't have a game where everything's a foul in the sun. For example, game five in the Knicks-Boston series, right, where Jalen Brunson fouls out. Everything was a foul. Everything was a foul. Game four was not like that. In game, what was that? Early game seven of the Thunder game, right? Of the Thunder and Nuggets game. Everything was a foul. And then midway through the game, they said, you know what? We're not calling this no more. That's an NBA issue. Either you're going to be like, hey, we're going to let these games play. We're going to let these teams play, or we're not. You're done. Okay. Sorry. But another example. The Timberwolves and Warriors series was physical, right? It was physical. They let a lot of things go. A lot of things go. Things you're like, damn, they're really not letting that go. They're really not, oh, wow, okay. And then there were some things you're like, oh, come on. Like, that's the problem. You either have one rule book. It can't be like, it's, we say the same thing about, it's like baseball, Dom. It's like umps with strike zones. Someone said this to me literally 20 minutes ago. He's like, if an ump has a strike zone where let's say a ball off the black is a strike, right? Yep. And he's consistently throwing that, calling the outside pitch a strike, no matter how far outside it is, as long as it's not egregious, it's still going to be a strike. But if another ump sits behind the box and what was a strike yesterday is a ball today, whose fault is that? And that's ump discretion. That's personality based. It's wherever you position your head in baseball. But in the basketball world, you can't do that. You cannot do that. Either have it one way or don't have it at all. That's the problem I have. You blame the players. You get these stupid-ass labels like merchants and foul merchants. In naturality, are they merchants or are they just playing the game that the NBA wanted? That's the biggest
thing. Yeah, problem. I mean, if the NBA hasn't really done much to prevent this, it's clear that, to whatever degree, they want it. And it's here to stay, and it's – I mean, look, it has become a craft for a lot of guys now, you know. So it's here to stay. It's the new wave. The NBA put themselves in this position, whether for better or for worse, I'm not sure. Speaking of for better or for worse, man, how about I think we all marvel at what OKC has been, but I'll tell you what, when it comes to this Minnesota team, they are in trouble, going back and watching last night. I mean, Gavin, they would not have been in it if it was not for Julius Randle's early efforts. He had 20 in the first half and Minnesota was up at the break. But I'll tell you what, I continue to give credit to Mark Daigneault and that OKC coaching staff, but that their defense just continues to find ways to solve offensive puzzles. And they did just that in the second half. He only had 8 on 5 shots. But Anthony Edwards, post game last night, kind of put it on himself, and rightfully so. He said, "I got to shoot more." I mean, he only took 13 shots.
He's a star. I will say though, it didn't help that Ant Edwards was in foul trouble the whole entire night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that doesn't help either.
That doesn't help. I mean, it kills your aggressiveness because you don't want to do much afterwards. To your point though, Dom, OKC has, 4 defenders that can guard? I don't want to say 1 through 5, but, I mean, yeah, Alex Caruso. But, I mean, guys like – what is his name? Guys like Cason Wallace.
Yep.
Guys like Lou Dort. Guys like Alex Caruso and Jalen Williams. They can guard. And arguably Aaron Wiggins. They can guard. They can guard 1 through 5. And you have a team where in Timberwolves, I'm going to just say it, they don't have the offensive firepower. They really don't.
No, they don't.
The firepower comes from between 2 people. And if one person's in foul trouble, I mean, Ant Slater is still respectable tonight. He had 18 points and 9 rebounds. But, I mean, Dom, listen to this. The next person, Dante DiVincenzo, had 9. Mike Conley has 7. Then Jaden McDaniels has 7. Rudy Gobert had 2. He played 21 minutes and had 2 points. Now, I understand Rudy's not a scorer, but if you're going to be on court, you got to do more than 2 points. But here's the – and then, like, also, too, we talk about bench. OKC gets production off their bench as well. these guys like Isaiah Joe and Kayson Wallace and Aaron Wiggins come in and they hit shots. Alex Caruso hit shots. First man off the bench hit shots. But another point I want to make is the starting five versus the Timberwolves starting five, it's just different. It's just different. And it's kind of hard when, like, when OKC can make a 15-point game because it was close. I mean, it was like, what, like an 8-point game midway going into halftime? Yeah. Close. And then next
year, it was a 4-point game at halftime. They were, Minnesota was up 4.
Then they get blown out. Listen, I think the Timberwolves will be better, but that's not all Anthony Edwards. I mean, if your damn center plays 21 minutes and only gets 2 points, that's a problem. And then, like, another thing. Who is going to help? Where's Naz Reid? Why was Naz Reid? He played 20 minutes and had 4 points. That's not going to help it either.
Yep.
He has to be better. I think they will get better, but that's not going to. If this is what's going to be every night, it's going to end in four. It's going to end in four. And we're going to go back to you. I think you said gentleman sweeper, if memory serves correct. You said gentleman sweeper?
Yes.
And I said six games. If this is how they're going to play, it may end in four.
Yeah, it very well could. Personally, I just think this OKC team is the most complete. They've been the most complete team all year. They're very well rounded, and if they continually find ways to win, so I that goes a long way. Especially, you saw it in that Denver series.
Yep.
Every time they were hit with adversity, they found a way. They responded. Over to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, which to me is a much more intriguing series than some people think. But the Eastern Conference Finals tonight kicks off. You have the Knicks and the Pacers. I'll say this. I think the Knicks have the talent and the bodies to throw at Tyrese Halliburton. And on top of that, I don't necessarily trust the Pacers' secondary players to make enough shots over the course of a 7-game series to beat the Knicks. However, and contradictory to that, it would not surprise me if the Pacers pull this out. But I like the Knicks in this series. I like them in six. Gavin, what do you think?
This is different. So, intriguing. I agree with you. And you got to go back to last year's playoff run. You got to think Tyrese Halliburton goes into the Garden in game 7. In the words of Pat McAfee, they did some Garden. They walk out with the win. They go and they play Boston. This series is different than last year. They're not as tired and as ran down, as hurt as the Knicks were last year. The Knicks didn't have Mikal Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns like last year. I honestly think this is going to be one of the series where Halliburton has to be more of a scorer than a passer, and you're going to need more. Totally. You're going to need more consistency of Pascal Siakam and company, and Miles Turner. Miles Turner, you're all starts. Ooh, like people forget about who Miles Turner and what he brings to the table. I agree with you though. I don't think they have enough firepower on the bench to go pound for pound with the Knicks as well. I mean, they bring what Trey McBride off the bench and company and others. And then you got Mitchell Robinson switching in and out. That's going to be a lot for Miles Turner, who's also a person that gets in foul trouble as well. I will say, though, there is a way that the Pacers do pull, because I'm going orange and blue skies in this one. I think this goes to six as well. But the only way the Pacers win, if Halliburton plays villain every night, like he did to the Cavs, he has to play villain every single night in order for them to win.
Yeah. Now, I mean, yeah, to your point, I think about this. If the Pacers could operate their offense against the Bucks with Giannis and the Cavaliers with Evan Mobley, then Tyrese Halliburton should enjoy, going at Jalen Brunson and Towns respectively and finding Pascal Siakam. But now on the other side, you have this Knicks team that's getting significant relief for the offense, and they rebound well as opposed to their series with Detroit, with both Detroit and Boston. I think they're healthier, and I think the bottom line here is that this is a team that has been on a mission. They've kind of been on a revenge tour, and I think this is like the ultimate stop for them.
Well, the key to this revenge tour has been the two additions they made. I mean, no disrespect to Dante DiVincenzo and Isaiah Hartenstein, who are phenomenal basketball players, but they're no Mikal Bridges. They're no Karl-Anthony Towns. The key to winning this is those two. You talk about bodies. Mike, you're telling Michael Bridges versus Tyrese Halliburton on defense, and then you switch up and Trey McBride as well, and you take the pressure off Jalen Brunson, have to guard him every play. And then you got a guy in Carlton Towns, depending on what Carlton Towns you get, because that's the key. We say the same thing about Chet Holmgren on the Western side, what Chet you get. It's the same thing you said with Cat. But Cat looks like he's averaging over 20. He's averaging 20 over, you know, and the line on FanDuel had him over at 22.5. So that's been Cat the last couple games in the playoffs. I think when it comes down to the series, it's going to be, can Brunson carry you again? How much will the supporting cast help? But when Brunson takes his rest, can you guys keep that lead that he give you, or can you guys keep it within close for when he comes back in to finish the job? The Knicks are in a beautiful spot now. They really are. I think they have
two great answers for their first and second options. You know, I'm assuming we're going to see Mikal Bridges on Tyrese Halliburton, and I'm also assuming that OG Anunoby is going to guard his former teammate Pascal Siakam. So those should be fun matchups to watch. You know, look, I'll say this with Indy, to the, you know, Rick Carlisle is a championship caliber coach. I think Tom Thibodeau is an excellent coach. But you know, Rick Carlisle is the only remaining coach with an NBA Finals ring as a head coach. So, you know, if it gets close down the stretch, I trust him a little more than Tibbs. Yeah. But I like this Knicks team in six.
I like this Knicks team as either six or seven. But if Halliburton doesn't play villain, if Halliburton plays villain, it'll be Pacers in six. And I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the Halliburton that dropped 39. If he shows up again, it's a different story. If it's this, you know, the Halliburton we saw season long, where it's like 15 points here, 10 points here. No, you have to be the killer you were last year. You have to go into the garden. And Dom, in a weird way, I see the Pacers win tonight. I see the Pacers win tonight.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they take the first game. It really wouldn't.
I just think when it's all said and done, if you look at just how this series, it's going to be a good one to watch. It really will be. Do you got Pacers tonight, or you got Knicks tonight? Who you got?
I got the Knicks taken tonight.
You got Knicks?
I kind of see this being one of those series where the home team is going to win every game.
Who gets home court? It's the Knicks, right? The highest seed?
Yes.
I think Pacers win game one.
I could see it, though. That's the thing. Like I think this series is much more of a toss-up than people think.
It's a 50-50 shot either way. Because this is a team that beat them last year in a different spot to get to here.
Yep.
But they were injured rather, and they didn't have the same piece they have now. Listen. No disrespect to Isaiah Hartenstein whatsoever. He's a phenomenal center. He rebounds the ball. He plays defense well. He's no Cat. He wasn't average at 20 points. Mikal Bridges is a better three-point shooter than Dante and more consistent than Dante DiVincenzo. And that's no disrespect there. Josh Hart. Josh Hart's a dog. All right? You have Josh Hart. You have Mitchell Robinson. You still have Jalen Brunson. You have it is going to take an army to beat this Knicks team. I think the Pacers have it, but like you said best, it's first to four.
And my bottom line is, like I said, I think the defensively New York has an answer for one and two. You know, I think you know, we get a game at some point where Mikal Bridges shuts down you know, Halliburton, and we get a game where, you know, either Siakam just plays awful, or, you know, Anunoby shuts him down.
That's more likely to happen.
Yeah.
I
would say the second's more likely than the first.
Yeah.
So then I got to ask, what is your finals prediction as of right now? I mean, we'll definitely revisit this when it gets time for the NBA finals. But let me put you on the spot here.
Oh, I hate when you did that. I love Ant. I really do. I got the box scores up over here. It don't look like they're gonna go. I'm going Thunder's Knicks.
Yep.
I'm going Thunder's Knicks. How about you? It's a toss up both sides though, but I got Thunder's Knicks.
Yeah, I'm going OKC and the Knicks in the finals. But I think OKC ultimately takes it all in like six. You know, I just think they're you know, they've been the most complete team all year. They've been the best team all year, and I think that shows up on the biggest stage. I don't think there's much to it. I think New York will give them a good series. You know, obviously we'll revisit that as it gets closer, or as the finals come upon us. But I have OKC winning it all.
I do want to add, if it is Thunder's Knicks, right? Because the one thing I like that Mark Dagenau does is he's not limiting his bench to just a certain amount of people. And he's pushed trust and belief in those guys that he runs. Now, he's not running everybody, but like you're putting trust and belief for these guys to play. I will say, if the Knicks do go, Tibbs, you're going to have to open up your bench a little. Like Preston Chua is sitting on your bench and he's not playing. Like that's something that he can give you 15. He can give you 15. Yeah. And versus a team like that, if they do make it to the finals, you're going to have to run more than just your seven people that you've been running.
Oh, totally.
That'd be interesting. But totally. I will say, if it's the Knicks Thunder's finals, Don, we got to make our way to New York just to see the
madness. No, I mean, I think it would be a really good series.
It will. Even if it's in a weird way, if it's Timberwolves and Knicks, or if it's Thunder.
I think any combination of the four would be good.
Of course. You know what wouldn't be good? If nobody somehow doesn't go.
Certainly that would not.
That would be good. It's the end. It stops right there. But if you don't mind, to all my friends on the ice, I got you covered.
I was going to say, that's where we were headed next.
I got you covered.
We're missing our hockey guy. But
yeah, he couldn't be here today, but all good. We will get Pat in here as soon as possible to make sure that he gets you all covered down for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But, Dom, the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals are set. You have the Dallas Stars and Edmonton Oilers. Dom, that starts tonight. Game one, McDavid. And I don't know anyone on the Dallas Stars. I apologize. But McDavid, that's all I know.
You're not a Mika Rantanen guy?
No, I don't know who he is. I gotta educate myself. I gotta educate myself. But Dom, this ain't my sport. This is Pat. But I will say, there's one thing I learned from last year. McDavid is like that. And I have this saying, either McDavid or nothing. Give me the Oilers, and this is a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
It is a rematch. I did ask Jimmy on that one, but I think it is a rematch. Dom, game one tonight. Who you rocking with?
I loved the Dallas Star, and this is corny, but you know, let's have some fun with it. When I was into hockey as a little kid. I loved the Dallas Stars. I loved Mike Modano and Marty Turco was one of my favorite goalies. I'm going to go Dallas tonight, for the reason that I like them. certainly Edmonton has the best player on the ice.
Yep.
So, you know, you
He hasn't had a good playoff so far. I heard he scored his first goal late in that Vegas score night series too. So
I'll say this though. There is nothing like in my opinion, out of the four major sports, when it comes to environment, I think the NHL. I think the NHL is I'm not gonna say by far anymore, but it's the best.
I think NHL and NBA.
Oh, NHL. Yeah, I think the NBA. I think with the NBA playoffs, you only like.
It depends on team.
Like
that's the problem.
The Garden's cool. I feel like the NBA, like those environments are like all of them are like eh.
But see, I'm thinking just off of like, you're right. It depends on team. Like I always go back to Oracle Warriors. And then you got like the Garden you just mentioned, both Gardens.
Yeah, to me, the Garden's the best environment in all of sports. I think Oracle was really good when, what was the place they played before it? before that.
The Oracle, yeah.
Okay, okay, it was still that, okay.
Yeah.
I think that was really good. Like, I think you go to, you know, the Garden. I think you go to Boston.
You could argue too. You could even argue at some points, and this is probably going to irritate the hell out of you. But you could argue too. The Sixers was rocking when they were like a couple times. The Wells Fargo Center was.
I disagree with that just because number one, those games didn't sell out.
That's fair. I guess because I was there.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that like it was a bad environment, but like to me, when I'm looking at like that type of stuff, I look at, are you selling out? And on top of that, like,
is that what you go by? You go by sellout. You don't go by like
sellouts and how many games does the road team win? Like that's what does it null and void for me with 76ers fans is like, how many road wins have happened in playoff series? And I'm not saying that's, you know, an indicator of, I'm not saying, you know, it's on the environment to do that. But for me, I look at, I mean, and I've said this on the show before, Philadelphia is a terrible NBA market. It's not what it once was. I don't think it'll ever be what it was in the 80s. And you know, you go back to that 2001 season, and that, you know, that's ownership's fault.
Matter of fact, now that we talk about Sixers, not heavily, I got to show you a podcast clip from Philadelphia's own Gilly, and we got to talk about it on here.
Gilly?
Because I don't know if you saw, he went on Podcast P and basically just aired out every...
I coached one of his nephews.
But he aired out his grievances of where everybody feels.
Dude, it's funny that, like, I find out that I was coaching his nephew for 2 years after I left where I was coaching him. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I saw him post. Like, I had to pull up on my nephew's practice. I'm like, yo, that was you.
If only. Wow, those are great people. Y'all don't know who we're talking about.
Yeah, they're good guys.
Great guys.
They're good and guys.
To the Eastern Conference Finals of NHL, the defending Chancellor Florida Panthers up 1-0 on the Carolina Hurricanes. Matthew Tkachuk. I think I said that right. I hope so. If not, it's all right.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah, no, you got it.
Up 1-0. I'm interested to see if we can get a rematch of last year where they were. Remember, the Oilers were down 3-0 to the Panthers, and they were about to come back. They're about to, and this is about to piss off a lot of LeBron fans. If McDavid comes back 3-0 and wins versus 3-1, we have to talk about that differently than we talked about the 3-1.
Oh, I totally agree.
So,
totally agree.
Interested to see. I think game two is tomorrow, I would believe, as well. But
yeah,
that's tomorrow. Hockey. As hockey. And real quick, I just want to touch on golf. Congratulations, Scottie Scheffler. He won the most recent event, the PGA Championship event. Scottie Scheffler did. So congratulations to him. I was telling Zach told me about that. I just put that out there.
Wait, which event was it?
That was the I think it was like the PGA. I think it was not.
It wasn't the one that was up here a couple weekends ago, was it?
No. It was literally.
So it wasn't the Truest. Okay.
No, it was literally like, it actually was, let me see. This past weekend, it was the PGA. No, it's the PGA Championship. Literally, that's what it's called. The PGA Championship at Quail Hollow Club, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
It was Scottie Scheffler 11 under, English at 6 under, Bryson DeChambeau 6 under, Riley 6 under, and Hendriff at 5 under. Listen, if you're in second place, take on $1.4 million. It's not bad either. Just swing a golf club for all day long.
Yeah, let me do that, please.
Let me, Don. We should go to this little golf penthouse right here. Real quick before we get up out of here, Don. For those who don't know, we like to have a little fun at the end of the show. We like to ask a little hot question. So last time we did. Starting five. I don't want to do it, but maybe we'll spin that for another time.
Okay.
Let's do all-time quarterback, running back, and you got to name three wide receivers. That's like a seven.
Ooh, okay.
Go ahead. Like a 7-7 almost.
Okay.
That's probably not 7-7, but yeah, you can get on something.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, man. All right. Without thinking too in depth for the sake of time, quarterback, I'm going to go Tom, running back. I want to go. I want to go with Emmitt Smith as my running back. I want to go with Emmitt Smith as my running back. And, you know, I'm also kind of thinking who I think would play well with each other. Receivers, I'm going to go Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens.
Yep.
Oh, and my third receiver?
You can throw a tight end if you want.
I'll do three receivers. That is tough for me. But I mean, you think I'd have it off like off the cuff? My third receiver, God, because there's so many.
There's so many good ones.
I mean, I'd go Randy Moss. But I'll tell you what, I loved Calvin Johnson. I loved Calvin Johnson. I loved Larry Fitzgerald. But yeah, I'll go with those three.
So it's Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice, right? Jerry Rice, is that what you said? And then and then you go Calvin Johnson, correct?
Yeah.
Is that your third Calvin? Okay. For me, I love Tom. I know Tom's considered the staple, greatest quarterback of all time, 6-0 Tampa Tom. My favorite quarterback of all time is Mike Vick. I'm going Mike Vick. This is difficult. Mike Vick. I'm going to go wide receiver. Mike Vick, give me Terrell Owens, give me Calvin Johnson, and give me Randy Moss.
Okay. That's actually those guys actually would play really well together.
And then, running back. Eric Dickerson. Or Bo Jackson.
That's a great one.
Eric Dickerson, you can't go wrong with Eric Dickerson or Bo Jackson. I'm going Eric Dickerson because he originally ran for 2,000 yards. I'm gonna mention CJ2K because one of my favorites as well.
If you had to pick a tight end, who would you go with?
Oh, Gronk.
Okay, Gronk. That's a good one.
Gronkowski or John Mackey was pretty good too. But I'm going Gronkowski. I'm going Gronk.
That's a good one.
Who you going with?
I'm going with he was arguably one of my favorite players as a little kid. I'm going with he goes into the Hall of Fame this year. I'm going with Antonio Gates.
So the only reason I didn't go to Antonio Gates is because every night and our friends every damn night I line up with men and Antonio Gates gives me 100 yards for no flipping reason. So Antonio Gates is well respected, all time Charger great as well. Can't go wrong, honestly. Yo, like football.
There's a lot of good tight ends.
Guys, you can even go.
I could have gone with Tony Gonzalez. I could have gone with Ozzie Newsome.
Shannon.
Shannon was a great. Shannon was a great player.
You can go, Shannon Sharp. You can go. Hell, you can go even some modern. You know, the Jason Witten here and there. But
yeah, Jason Witten would be another guy I'd think of. I mean, you know, there's this. That position's evolved, so like everybody in so many different ways, where everybody kind of has a definition of what they want or what they like.
Nowadays, they're like wide receivers, so like
just, yeah. So yeah. I would so like for me, I just think Antonio Gates, you know, encompasses whatever it is you want in a tight end. I mean, I love Rob Gronkowski, but yeah, I'd go Gates for me.
I just like Rob because like. You just think that duo, what, combined for almost like 50 touchdowns, something like that? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Him and Tom is crazy. And you can't go wrong with Tom. Listen, I know people going to listen to this and be like, yo, how would you pick Mike Vick over Joe Montana, over Steve Young, Kurt Warner, you know, how you feel about Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. But damn, I'm a Mike Vick fan. And you're lucky I didn't throw Lamar Jackson there too. Because I would.
I love Mike Vick.
I love Mike Vick. Great guy.
I mean, he was a game changer. You know, even highlight before. Real tape. Yeah, even before all the stuff, you know, Mike was a game changer. He took a decent Atlanta team to an NFC championship. Which actually is one of my like, I'm not gonna say it was one of my. It's one of my favorite teams of all time, but like on the low. I love going back and watching that team for whatever reason. I don't know what it, but like Mike, Algie Crumpler.
Brian Fitter on that team? No, I'm gonna be thinking.
He hold on. No, Brian was Brian still? Brian still may have been at Villanova.
Okay.
Let me see. That's actually a great question.
I feel like you can't, like, guys, when we do these stuff, right? Because one, this is really on the fly. Like, I'm sitting there thinking.
Oh no, yeah, Brian was in Atlanta. He was on that team. He was behind out. He was. Oh wow, yeah, my mistake. He was. He was out there with Algie Crumpler.
Can't go wrong with none of these guys. All these guys are Hall of Famers, respected ballers in their own way. I know there's going to be someone to be like, you last one off this list. I can't. Indy 500 is this weekend as well. Dom, race car Indy 500 this Sunday as well. I think that's going to be game three of the Eastern Conference Finals as well. But that's all I got for you guys today, Dom. Anything else that we're on sports world you seen going on?
No, we'll have another one coming up sometime either later this week or early next. Depending on what's going on in the baseball world, we'll touch there as well. The only thing we
do all time baseball, maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one. But the only thing baseball wise that local in a local sense, the Phillies are out in Colorado beating the crap out of the Rockies. And Jose Alvarado is done because of the suspension, but you know, I feel like that has kind of been talked about. Ad nauseum to this point. So looking forward to doing this again soon.
Heck yeah! Hopefully we can get our brother Pat with us next time. We can get a third.
He's here somewhere.
He's here somewhere, man. Pat, come on, man, come join us. So now we'll get Pat here next time, and I promise you, when Pat gets here, hockey will be way better.
It will be.
With that being said, y'all, this was the Kickback Pod. I am Gavin. That is Don. We appreciate you guys for listening and rocking with us. Hopefully, we can start building some strong. Make sure you share this. Rate us a 5-star. Tell your friends and family members that the pod is here. The Kickback Pod is here to be exactly. And I can say what the hell I want. Don. And Pat will agree with me. Don, no more PSAs. No more having to play music. Even though I'm a music guy, so I don't want to maybe everyone's will throw like some music questions in there too. I'm excited that freedom of speech too, as you guys can hear. You know what I mean? I promise I'll tone it down. I just want you guys to know that this is where we're coming from. But nah, this is the pod. I'm Gavin. That's Dom. Until next time, this is a Kickback Race of 5-star, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.